And welcome back to The Right Turn, your one-stop shop for all things fiction writing. I'm your host, author Jordan M. Griffin, and today we're going to be talking about characters. Why they can make or break a work, why even authors who don't think of characters as important should care about them, and how to create three-dimensional characters on the page. At the center of any story exist characters. No matter what the story is about, no matter how much time an author may spend on the history of their world or the beauty of the sun shining through the clouds, a story cannot move forward without someone doing something. Now, not all characters need to be human. In fact, most children's movies create beautiful, heartfelt stories without ever having a human come across their screen. But these foxes, dogs, cats, rats, and the like are all characters by definition, because they have an emotional stake in the actions that are taking place, and because they have free will and thought to change things that exist in their world. They all want something and are able to work towards that want or away from it as the story may go. Therefore, it stands to reason that in order for any story to have an emotional heart, it must have characters. Even the great Notre Dame, written by Victor Hugo as an exhalation of the beauty and enduring legacy of architecture, needs human and one goat characters who actually move the story along. So how do you, as an author, make sure your characters are serving your story rather than taking away from it? We've all read a book where the world building was amazing, the plot was great, but there was at least one terrible character who made us want to put the book down once or twice. Personally, the fastest way I see authors kill a story is with unflawed characters or badly flawed characters. I think every author knows by now that it is impossible for a sentient creature to exist without some kind of flaws to it. Even the nicest, sweetest people may be too gullible or naive to stop themselves or their loved ones from getting hurt. Everyone makes decisions they regret, and those decisions help build us into thinking, feeling, three-dimensional human beings. Your characters are no different. However, some stories feel like the authors took their characters and either decided that their flaws are going to be picked out of a hat, or they forgot to give their characters any flaws at all. And I'm not immune to this either. Much of my early writing during my MFA program was littered with responses from other students such as, "Let your characters make mistakes," and "I feel like you're protecting your characters too much." It's a very common pitfall for authors to fall into. Part of this is because, at the end of the day, you need to move your story forward. So it becomes very easy to say, well, my character needs to make it out of this because I need her to do something in the next scene. Or, well, these two characters have to make up here because I need them to be friends again for this part of the plot. And let me say, that is okay. There is nothing wrong with knowing that you need certain characters to do certain things so that it fits in the overall arc of your story. The key is to make sure that you're not shorting any of the emotional work your characters would need to do in order to get where you need them to be. Or, you know, giving them superpowers that means they can't be hurt by anything ever, which is something I see in a lot of superhero movies that are happening now. Even superheroes should be vulnerable to something. So, if you need your characters, who have been mad at each other, let's say, to hug and make up within one scene or with it by a certain point in the story, then ask yourself, how can you do that given the depth of the conflict between them? If you have, let's say, best friends, and they've been mad at each other for about a week over something fairly trivial, then yes, having a little 5-minute conversation to clear the air makes perfect sense. They can go back to being really good friends, and that won't feel cheap to the audience. We've all been there. However, if you have two characters who've been enemies for 20 years, the best you're going to get out of a one-scene conversation is a grudging agreement to work together. All the while, each person is going to be looking over their shoulders, worried about getting stabbed in the back. Essentially, you can't demand that your audience believes in a relationship you have not sold them. And that goes for a relationship with a character's own self, too. This is a big place that I see authors tend to skip or go a little bit too fast when developing a character. Especially in kids' movies. A character who has deeply believed that they are flawed and incapable of change has a little pep talk with themselves, and suddenly they are strong, capable, independent person who has full control of their powers. it feels cheap to the audience. It is cheap. We as people know that it is completely unrealistic for any person, main character included, to completely swivel their personality in one pep talk. Anyone who's tried knows that sooner or later, you'll return to the same person you always were. If you do want deep, real change within a character, it comes slowly, gradually, one second-guess decision at a time. Another way I see characters just fall apart on the page is when authors give them flaws that don't actually make sense given their personalities. They'll give a character flaws like picking them off a list. This character is an excitable, talkative young girl. Sometimes she doesn't think things through, and her flaw is that she's afraid to ask for what she wants. It almost sounds good when you list it like that. However, when you take those traits I just named and put them together, most likely they wouldn't actually manifest themselves together without some kind of external environmental factor coming into play. A talkative person is one who very likely has no fear if they're asking for something that they want, because this is a person who enjoys conversation and a person who is practiced at finding tactful ways to interact with people around them. Even if they are interacting with an unstable person, they will be able to, albeit maybe fearfully, navigate into getting what they want. This is a long way to say that in real humans, flaws and strengths are two sides of the same coin. They do not exist independently. A talkative person is one who has enough confidence to strike up a conversation with anyone, including strangers sitting beside them on the bus. They make friends easily and people often like them. They thrive in any kind of social situations and can be really well liked in workplaces or in school, even if they're not necessarily the best at what they're trying to do. The downside of that strength is very often a person who rarely forms deep connections, who can make a stranger like them in 40 seconds but doesn't quite know how to turn that surface relationship into something deeper. This is a person that may go through friends very quickly or may always seem to have new people around them. This is actually why talkative people and quiet people often form relationships, be it friendship or deeper. One person engages the conversation, the talkative person, and the other has the introspection and patience to take that relationship into something else. One person gets them out of the house into the party, and the other knows to head home before that party degenerates into drunken arguments. These two people, their strengths and their weaknesses, go hand in hand. One way I like to think about flaws when I'm writing is less in the colloquial sense we use the word, which is something wrong with a person or a downside of their personality, and more as a set of circumstances. A flaw is nothing more than a character finding themselves in a situation where their personal strengths are no longer suited to the task at hand. For example, the term gullible describes someone as easily trusting, who takes people at their word without pausing to verify information and who can easily be taken advantage of. This is very often described as a bad thing, a thing that needs correcting with a little learning about the world. However, someone who's gullible is someone who is often themselves honest, straightforward, and good-natured. They don't see possible danger in front of them because they themselves would never think of doing something like that. In any situation that relies on goodwill and caring for others, a gullible person is the best one to have around. It's only when confronted with a world uncaring and manipulative that these types of people fail. So as you're crafting your characters, ask yourself this question: what are my character's strengths? And in what circumstances would those strengths start to actively work against the character's ability to succeed? If you have a character who thrives in crowds, who can make passerby stop in their tracks and wow them in seconds, what do they do if they find themselves alone? If they have no one to impress? If you have a character who likes puzzles, who takes their time to make decisions and weighs every single choice carefully, what happens if they have no time to decide before needing to make a life-altering decision? This is how you craft tension in a story that directly involves a character's inner conflict, and this is why characters that are well done often mean more to us in a story than a story with a great plot or a really cool world. Don't get me wrong, external conflict is great and is often necessary for longer works. But if a character is only working with external motivation, then the story becomes one-dimensional. No matter how big your conflict, how many dragons must be slayed, or how big the alien war is that must be won, the choices the character faces are easy. Of course a character will want to save the world. Who wouldn't? Of course they'll climb that mountain and face the evil spirit at the top. It'll kill everyone in their village if they don't. However, if a character has an internal conflict that exists directly at odds with the external one, well, that suddenly becomes a lot more interesting. Take, for example, a character who is called upon to save the world, but who will not because they live in shame at their fall from a once-renowned name. They won't step forward because they're afraid of failing, and that very fear of failure threatens to make everything fail. Right? So now the character needs to overcome something inside themselves in order to then achieve the external conflict. This brings an elevated level of tension that the reader can engage in as the story moves along. If the internal conflict in your story does not exist directly at odds with the external, that's totally okay too. They can walk slanting or even parallel paths. The key, as we talked about with flaws, is that the character's wants must come directly out of their fears and or hopes, both of which are going to stem directly from their strengths. For example, a talkative character will very likely wish to walk a path that lands them in contact with people. If your story is a fantasy story, then they may be a bard or a traveling merchant. If it's not, then they might be a salesperson or a nurse. Their great want, what this character needs more than anything, maybe to find deeper connections with their family or friends, or even they might want someone to see the quote-unquote real them, to not have to feel as if they exist in a different form for each and every person they meet. Set this up with an external conflict that directly requires them to push off that want, and now you have something really interesting. So let's say you're writing a romantasy, because that's pretty big right now. So you have this talkative character, and let's say they need to pretend to be the consort of the ruling king. They're asked if they'll do this, so they know the relationship is going to be fake, and they tell themselves they're going to be great at this. They're good with people, they know the rules of etiquette, they can be the darling of the court. However, that deep craving for intimacy begins to make their charade harder and harder to maintain until maybe they blow up or maybe something happens. You can see how pitting a character into a situation where they are faced with their deepest longing, but they can't quite get it, is compelling. The essential piece here is to realize they're all connected. A character's strengths fuel their ambitions, because very rare is the person likely to pursue something they hate doing. Their fears stem directly from the skills they lack or the situations which they would be at their worst. So giving a character a journey that traces those two lines will ensure that these characters are learning and growing, that they're constantly dealing with hardship while still working toward a goal your readers can really get into. And it will help your readers root for them, because we all know what it feels like to be in a situation where this isn't what you're good at. This isn't your strong suit. And so seeing a character in that place will feel very relatable. The last piece to crafting believable characters for this talk here is to ensure you allow them to make mistakes. Now, I'm sure everybody has heard this, and on its face, it sounds like a really easy task. You can have a character do an Indiana Jones and cause a whole temple to collapse, causing the party to scramble to find an exit. That's a mistake, right? Maybe even a mistake bad enough to get someone they care about deeply injured, and that makes them grieve and doubt themselves for the rest of the story. That's totally fine. That's a mistake, true. But the thing here is it doesn't necessarily reveal anything about the character. So when writers say, let your characters make mistakes, they don't usually mean, let your character who is working with little to no information make the same choice any reasonable person would in that same situation, which is what I find happens in many early attempts at writing, right? Or many kind of one-dimensional stories. Hercules cuts off the Hydra's head, not knowing two more will grow in his place. That's not his fault. Harry Potter touches the Triwizard Cup, not knowing it's a portkey. Also not his fault. So while those are mistakes, it's not mistakes that we really see the character grow or learn from. Instead, What let your characters make mistakes usually means when thrown out in writing advice is to let characters act from their emotions. Let them push away helping hands or let them come on way too strong and completely embarrass themselves. Let them deeply hurt people they care for and have to wrestle with how to make it up to them. Let them betray their friends for a desperate chance at their one true desire, only to find out that desire isn't actually what the character wants and they've sold out their friends for nothing. Now, it's normal to be worried that if your character makes too many wrong choices, the reader will not sympathize with them. How many times have we read a book and realized about halfway through that we hate the main character? I understand wanting to avoid this in your writing, and it's fair that your character should not stumble and trip and make all of the wrong choices for the entire book. However, the answer is also not the opposite. Don't use your prophetic knowledge as the writer to ensure that your character magically knows the right thing to do in every situation, or have it somehow work out for them, no matter what. That will create what is, in my opinion, a worse situation, which is a character who always has the answers and who never does a single thing wrong. There is a time and a place for characters with a lot of wisdom. If you're familiar with Avatar: The Last Airbender, which if you're not, I highly recommend it as an exercise in storytelling. It is amazing to look at from a writing perspective. Think of Uncle Iroh in the show. Iroh is a character who does not need an internal arc. He's come to terms with his part in the war, and he's now taken it upon himself to help his nephew through banishment. He works little by little to make the world a better place, and he even tries to convince Zuko to leave behind a quest for honor and live a quiet life as refugees. The reason Iroh doesn't need to make mistakes the way that the other characters do is because the story isn't about Iroh. Zuko is, arguably, one of the main protagonists of the show, and so it's Zuko who unforgivably betrays his uncle when given the choice. This is a man who's given up everything for Zuko, who stood by him when everyone, including Zuko's own father and sister, turned away from him. And still, when offered a place by his father's side once again, when offered what Zuko thinks is redemption, he imprisons his uncle and eventually spits in the face of everything his uncle has given him. It's a harrowing moment, incredibly emotionally charged, and an excellent use of allowing a character to walk a path that is wrong, that almost makes the audience not like him. But actually, the audience feels for him, because many of us have made those mistakes. And once Zuko realizes what he's done, it's too late. Iroh's escaped from prison, and he cannot say sorry. He has to continue on holding the grief of that decision until these characters can speak face to face once again. And when Zuko does finally have a chance to apologize, he has a lot to show for it. He's taken his guilt and shame and worked to undo them. He shunned his family and he's taken steps to right all of the wrong he's done. That's why his apology means something. It's not just a character saying, "I'm sorry," and another character forgiving them. No. Zuko has changed literally everything about himself in order to prove that he understands what he did, that he knows it was wrong, and that he wishes to be forgiven on his own merit, not simply because he thinks he's entitled to it or because this is his uncle and we're family. Now, I'm not saying that you need to write a 3-season arc in order to have your characters make a mistake that is worthwhile. I'm only saying that if you're going to have them choose wrong, have there be emotional stakes riding on the decision. Very rarely are humans faced with choices that are clear. Let your characters struggle with decisions and let them choose selfishly even if they know it's wrong. That means they'll have a lot of work to undo their actions, and such journeys are why we read stories in the first place. Characters are a lot more than they seem. They're the heart of every story, and sometimes it can be daunting to try to create 3-dimensional, talking, feeling people on your page. After all, there are plenty of those around us already, and dealing with them isn't always pleasant. But a character who feels realistic, who the audience can root for, who makes mistakes and works to correct them, will go a long way in adding to the readability of your story. It will make the work come alive and will be what the audience remembers most when they put down your book. Okay, that's it for this week. So thank you all for listening, and I hope this talk was helpful to you. Please feel free to go back, pause, or replay any part you want to hear again. If you really liked the episode, leave a review or share it with someone you think would benefit from this discussion. If you're interested in telling us a story about your own writing experience, sharing your work with us, or you just want to say hi, you can send an email to writeturn@gmail.com. That's WRITETURN@gmail.com. If you'd like to engage with the community in other ways, you are welcome to subscribe to the newsletter at jordanmgriffin.com, which will tell you when new episodes come out. In addition, I have an Instagram, which will also let you know when I upload videos. Link for those will be in the episode description. As always, I wish you the best in your own writing. Have a great day, and if it's not a good one, I hope that the next one is better. See you next time!